Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Just because you have to pay
I'm
money,
always going to disrespect your level.
Just because
insurance
you have to pay money to drive
scam.
Your car, it's not.
No, insurance it's not. Is such a scam.
Biggest
I work hard. I work hard for my company.
No, you don't.
It's not a scam. I'm putting in hard work to help everybody out there. When there's accidents, when there's their house is on fire, it's me who's helping them out.
Ty knows that he's being recorded right now, but as soon as the mic
you
turns off,
you money
he's,
to them, Ty, because that's what else. If you have a fire, getting food and money donated, the biggest help.
I rebuild the house with my own hands. is what happens.
I've never seen you build anything. Normally, if you need any help building something, you call Renee.
Yeah, he's my partner in this.
Okay. All right, Ty, intro us.
Welcome to episode 94 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
It's been a while since last year.
Oh, good joke.
Oh, God. So New Year's jokes have already started.
Every single person has made that joke, yeah.
He said it last week. He said it last week. He's like, see you next year.
No, you said that.
Yeah, you did. No, I'm pretty sure Luke, you did.
I don't think so. Fact check Luke. Just go and fact check this shit, okay? You are the only one who listens to this podcast.
I try to black it all out after. I edit it and then I black it out.
So
the trauma. What are we talking about today, Ty?
I hope you liked our year in review. My mom isn't here this week.
Oh, nice. So you can say everything.
So we can finally hear about the girlfriend? Not girlfriend?
There's nothing
the
really.
Podcast listeners deserve to know.
There's
Luke
no
told
updates.
A good story.
No I did.
Luke told the accurate story of what had occurred. Mm-hmm. Except for the only part I disagreed with is that I didn't, where you said I didn't. Put an effort in. I definitely put an effort in.
You put in like 20%. You're right. That was unfair of me to say you put in zero effort. It was like 25 to 30.
It's the classic tie 20% effort.
Yeah.
But except the effort he gives his company, which is 100%.
Exactly. Good one, Martin.
That's right, Martin. You tell him.
And that's why he's been promoted to senior insurance advisor, analyst, agent, or whatever.
It's a hot title.
Yeah.
Hot title.
I'm a 10
out of
10
in the insurance makes you an 8 out of 10 in the insurance world.
No.
Oh, right. He's a 10 out of 10 in the insurance
world. Actually, no, I'm a 12 out of 10 with my title. You're right.
No.
So,
what are we talking about today, Ty?
Welcome to 2022. I watched one hockey game in the past month, so I'm not sure what's going on out there. Eric's probably watched three.
Mm-hmm. All on mute, for
Luke
sure.
Luke has watched
at
zero.
At least five.
I actually watched one at the gym the other day when it was New Year's Day.
It on the screen at the background.
I had it on the screen, yeah. It was the
Does
first time I've been
count?
To the gym at 2 o'clock and they were playing. I think it was Boston-Detroit.
Martin, did you watch the Leafs and Senators on Saturday?
No.
Oh, actually, I was at the bar watching that for a little bit.
You were at the bar. Canceled.
I was.
Canceled.
You're canceled.
Canceled.
Did the bar close after 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
Dude, they stopped serving drinks at 9:10. I was so cheesed. 9:10, not 9:30, not 10, definitely not 11. They stopped serving drinks at 9:10.
The world's bullshit a wild place.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
That's going to help stop the spread of COVID.
Yeah.
No drinks.
I think so.
It's okay to drink before 9:10, though. That's fine. You're safe. You're doing a good job.
I was safe up until 9:10, but at 9:11, Jesus Christ.
It's so funny. Like when you're at the restaurants or whatever.
9:11 is a bad number.
I know. I know. Eric, you don't want to be. You are not safe at 9:11. Sorry.
This is true. You're not wrong.
I was going to say, it's actually funny when you're at a restaurant and it's like you can sit down, mingle with dozens of people. Take your mask off and eat and drink. That's fine while you're sitting at the table. But as soon as you stand up, gotta go to the bathroom. No, mask on.
That was gone for a little bit, and it was nice. Yeah, it was.
That was never gone.
Oh, buddy, I went to bars and it was pretty fucking gone in December.
They didn't care as much. Now they care.
Yeah.
Like I went somewhere like any time. Like I went maybe beginning of December, like before this really became this lockdown happened.
I think.
And it was like literally any time you got up out of your table. But when you're sitting at your table, it's fine.
Yeah. Or
also, the bar I went to was completely empty.
But when there's no one on the transit, no one on transit, and because no one takes it anymore, on the GO train down, you're like 30 seats away from the closest person. You have to wear your mask. But if you're in an 18,000 person stadium, then you don't need to wear a mask as long as you're sitting down. So the rules and policies just don't make sense. But anyways, we don't want to talk about COVID. We want to talk about – because Ty legit never said, although we asked him three times what we're talking about today, his favorite topic, we're going to beat up the Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, we're also going to talk soccer a little.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. I love talking soccer.
I feel like we also got to talk about Kadri being top five in NHL scoring. I feel like that has to be talked
Troy
about.
Troy Terry getting 21 goals or whatever he's at.
Yeah,
now.
Troy Terry having more goals than everyone in the league not named Draisaitl and Ovechkin is also absurd. I was very wrong on him regressing. He just hasn't regressed. I feel bad for whoever listened to me and sold high and then turns out.
Depending on who they got back in the high trade, though.
And yeah, it does matter, but regardless, oh my God.
Who's got a landline?
That's Eric's work phone again.
It's my work phone.
Oh.
Mute yourself, bitch.
Tell this person to go away.
The old man can't figure out how to turn on his computer again.
Ty, I will definitely be tuning out for the talking soccer portion of this episode. I care very little about soccer. But anyways, before we get there, Edmonton.
This is very important, though. This signing is actually huge.
All right, Martin.
Okay,
we're ahead. Yeah.
If you want to hear us talk soccer, skip to like 45 minutes in, okay? How about that?
Okay.
Probably 30, but yeah, good point.
Probably.
And if you want to hear the intro of actually us talking at all, skip to 7 minutes because that's where we are and we've still not talked about anything relevant to what we're talking about.
Okay, so the Edmonton Oilers have lost 8 out of their last 10 games, is it?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
After starting, 9-1-1, something along those lines?
9-1-1, 9-11. Look at that.
Keeps coming back to Eric. Sorry.
Damn.
It keeps coming back to the three numbers, and you're tying it back to Eric because you're racist.
So, yeah, it's because Ty's racist.
But at least you do a good job at Sonnet. So, that's what.
Remember really my comments from last week about.
I took that out.
Yeah, I know.
The episode.
Luke saving Ty's job on a weekly basis.
Yeah, basically. It was actually really funny, but I can't save that clip.
That's a private clip that he saved.
I didn't actually save it. No.
Well, you should.
I needed to burn that from ever you saying that because who knows what could happen 15 years from now.
Exactly.
I think Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton is 2-6-2 in their last 8 games, losing streak of 4. Koskinen went out and said some things to a Finnish newspaper, it sounds like, and that blew up on Twitter yesterday, saying that he knows he's playing bad, but when the team only scores 7 goals in the last 6 games, it's hard to win anything. It's not really his fault, which Eric posted on the story saying, can't disagree.
He ain't wrong. You can't factually find anything wrong with his analysis there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
You know, six goals in seven games. It's hard.
I just can't believe McDavid and Draisaitl
shutout, and you wouldn't even win all of those games.
I'm just surprised McDavid and Draisaitl, being the two best players in the world, can't constantly put up 3 points a game, especially when they don't get the power play points. It's mind blowing to me that Edmonton can't win.
This is exactly what any analyst should have noticed when they started off really hot. I think it was like 9-1 in their first 10 games. They were like number one in the NHL. Everyone's like, oh, the Oilers are legit. Came crashing back down to earth real quick. Mike Smith is not the Mike Smith of last year. Who could have predicted that happening? 40-year-old goalie signed to a 2-year extension after coming off like a career season.
Who would have expected
regression?
Like, why'd they do that?
40 years old. Hello.
Ty, nobody could have predicted that. Come on. Let's be real.
Nobody.
How could you expect a 40-year-old goalie to potentially have a bad season after having two or three bad seasons before that?
Why wouldn't he just be like Fleury and have a Vezina caliber year?
True. Good point, Martin.
Exactly. Good point. You know,
and
he's not wrong.
That's what
as they say on Talking
Ken
Hockey.
Holland thought. He was like,
Ken Holland is not getting nearly enough blame and flack.
Ken Holland should be fired.
Like, they think Dave Tippett, like Mike Babcock's going to come in and fix this thing.
Oh.
I mean, like, it is kind of a coaching issue, but it's way more of a roster issue. Like, way more.
This was the first year. I mean, okay. Chiarelli, garbage GM. That's without a doubt. And they had some terrible signings in there. This was their first year, I think, in like three seasons where they were actually able to – they had like $20 million of cap space in the offseason. How did they spend it? They traded for Duncan Keith. They signed Zach Hyman. Okay, Zach Hyman was pretty good to start off the season. But now looking at his stats ever since he's – look at his evolving wild – I think it's the GAR. He's like at the bottom of the team in GAR.
Yeah, he's not too hot.
He had some good start. He had a good start. Like, the whole team had a great start. He had like 8 goals in his first 10 games.
It's because their power play was on fire.
Yeah, the power play was
out of the Hyman.
Who would have seen it? Okay, whatever. They signed Hyman. Everyone said, okay, this is going to be an okay contract for a year or two. Mm-hmm. It's looking like it might not be an okay contract in year one. They signed Tyson Barrie to a 3-year extension. They signed Cody Ceci. They didn't make any upgrades in net.
Cody doing what he needs to.
Okay. Was that the fix, though?
No.
Signing Cody Ceci to a 4-year contract, was that a fix? They had $20 million in cap space. That was their offseason. Did they improve on defense? Marginally. I think Duncan Keith has actually been better than expected.
You have to give them credit for...
getting worse?
Doing something.
Who was their D last year? Okay. Their D last year was Nurse.
Except you actually can't give them credit for doing something, because if they just left it as is, it probably would have been better. But that's besides the
point. So their D last year was Nurse, Barrie, Larson, and I don't know who
Bear.
Was this? Bear. Oh, yeah. Bear was there.
Yep.
And
Chris Russell.
Bouchard played a little bit. There was a couple
that
other guys.
Six, that yes. switched out a
yeah,
lot.
Slater, there Cuckoo. Like,
Cuckoo. There was...
Lagesson, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys.
This year, so note those guys. This year, it's Nurse Barrie, Keith Ceci,
yep.
Bouchard, and somebody.
Yeah.
Basically, 6D rotated.
Chris Russell.
Up. Chris Russell was injured.
I think
Slater,
Chris
Cuckoo.
Russell was the mainstay before... before he got injured.
Is that a better D than last year? I think Bouchard's at least taken a step up. He can play, but...
Oh, they've also been playing Broberg. I forgot about that.
He played like 2 games.
Eight games,
okay. And then he sent back down anyway. And they kept Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen in net. Is this a better back end than last year?
Hey, you forgot about Stuart Skinner. Elite...
okay, he got sent down to the AHL as soon as Mike Smith came back. Leafs are winning 1-0, by the way, as we speak. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Nice.
5 minutes in the game. So who could have seen this coming? Keith has been better than anybody would have predicted, I think. He hasn't been great by any means. He hasn't helped the team out. I mean, but he's been better.
He just hasn't been. He hasn't been like god awful worst defenseman in the NHL. But yeah.
On forward, I think that's the biggest issue right now is on forward, like it's still not great depth. But I think it's also like the coaching and who they're playing, right? Like Tippett is playing like I've caught a couple games. Ryan McLeod's been pretty good, but he keeps getting benched, right?
Yeah, he plays like 10 minutes. Tonight.
Yeah, when he's like honestly, other than McDavid and Drysdale in the games that I've watched of the Oilers recently, he's like a guy catching my eye. Warren Fogle has not been good at all
because he's really fast. He's very noticeable out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yamamoto's taken a huge step back from 2 years ago, right? Yamamoto's not been.
Yamamoto is by far like the biggest concern, not like biggest concern, but like one of the biggest issues on that team because he's supposed to be their depth scoring.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show.
Right? Like he is, if you look at their depth, they have like outside the top five guys, and everyone knows who the top five, like if off the top of your head, everyone can name the top five scorers on the Oilers, right? McDavid, Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jesse Puljujärvi, who are all in the top six, right? But they needed guys like Yamamoto to step up in the bottom six. They needed Fogle to step up in the bottom six, and none of them are doing anything right now, essentially.
Yeah, Derek Ryan. I mean, their depth signings have also been trash. And Derek Ryan everyone thought
really bad. Two goals and that's it. No assist.
They still continue to play Kyle Turris.
Games. Derek Ryan doesn't have an assist. Like that's bad.
Like, but that was predictable. Like,
no, not really.
No, because Derek Ryan in the past has been okay. He's also a minus 13. I don't know. You know,
like it's goal differential. He's also the goal 34. Differential when these guys are on the ice compared to the top players is unreal. Still, it's gotten worse.
Okay, guys. I think
they're getting outscored like 30 goals with
guys. Derek Ryan had 13 points last year in 43 games, and he's only gotten older. Since then,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but now he has two goals and zero assists
in 30 games.
In 30 games, that's a lot worse.
And Derek Ryan has never been an offensive weapon. Like,
Okay, but that's he's not on pace for 13 goals or 13 points in 43 games. It doesn't
matter. He's on pace for 6 points, less than 6 points. And zero assists.
I'm just saying, as your third line center, he wasn't a very good option in the first place.
He should not be the third line center is the issue as well. Their third line center should be like, I think like one of their, like Ryan McLeod has been pretty good, right? In his time playing in the Oilers. Like, and they're continuing to play guys like Kyle Turris, who was useless. Continue to play guys like Zach Cassian, right? While you have, I mean, they're not high-end forwards by any means, like Tyler Benson, for example, benched. You know?
Off the top of your head, who would you guess is their top scoring player on defense right now?
Bouchard?
Ethan Bear. Oh, right. He's on Carolina, but he does have more points than all of them. No, it was it was just a joke.
I was actually surprised when I saw that. I know Darnell Nurse has been injured a bit. He missed a couple games. But Bouchard has 19 points in 33 games. Darnell Nurse has 14 points in 26 games.
Like, Bouchard has actually been pretty good, right? Like, his defense against still needs work, but I mean, he's probably better than playing Barry and CeCe. He probably should be playing ahead of them, but isn't, right? Like this coach and GM have something against young defense. They did it last year with Ethan Bear, right? They're not playing.
You see what happened with Dmitry Samorikov?
Yeah, he started his first NHL game and played 2 minutes. Yep. He got walked in those 2 minutes. I'm not going to lie. He got absolutely walked.
It was bad. It was very bad to watch. I felt really bad.
But then never played a shift after that. Yeah. Good first
game. And I think that's and I think like moments like that are when like I think the coach comes more into play. Like I feel like the coach that's not like I get like, you know, he got walked 2 times, like, you know, sit him down for a bit and like be like, you know, talk him through it. But the fact that he didn't give him another chance again and like that kid's confidence is just shot now. Like his year is done after that. He got put on the ice, let 2 goals again since coach never put him in again, and he might never play again this year.
Like it is ridiculous. And like, okay, and do you want to know the other ridiculous thing? That quote that Dave Tippett had that came out after the Rangers game a couple days ago where they lost 4-1. He's like, the goalie was bad. No one asked anything about the goaltending. The press conference was a minute and a half. You can find the Twitter clip of it. And literally all he started doing was talking shit about the goalie, about Mikko Koskinen. It was hilarious.
He said today that the criticism of Koskinen was taken out of context.
No, it wasn't. No,
it wasn't. It was not. I watched that video. It was not taken out of context.
It was literally blatant.
It was blatant.
What can I? Our goalie was not good tonight. No prompts about asking about Mikko Koskinen's game. It was literally just our goalie was shit.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Fuck this guy. The team scored 1 goal, and what he continues to do is anytime they're down is play McDavid and Draisaitl together, and they're gassed. Like, they are absolutely gassed. Like, watch them. There was a game against the Islanders. I know I said I only watch one hockey game, but I'm intrigued by the Oilers. I am absolutely intrigued by the Oilers because they played the back-to-back. I think it was against New Jersey and then the Islanders, right? Against New Jersey, Draisaitl and McDavid played like 28 minutes and 26 minutes, first half of a back-to-back. By the second half of the back-to-back, second period, they could not skate, right? And they were gassed, like visibly gassed. And then the Oilers, there was a stretch of that game against the Islanders where I think it was like 15 minutes they didn't get a shot on goal.
You seem to know a lot about hockey for not watching a lot of the games.
I know. I'm intrigued by the Oilers.
Ty, I think I've known you for a long time. I always think you're more passionate when you hate something than when you love something.
It's true.
And that's why Ty won't chase a girl for even like 20 minutes, but we'll spend an hour bashing on the Oilers.
Yeah.
Because, 100%. Man, it's ridiculous. I hate when people look at this team and they watch their hot start and said, this is sustainable. This is good. Their power play is going to score on 50% of all chances.
Who did that though? Like
there were quite, like, to be fair to Ty, he's over exaggerating how many, but there were a lot of people that were like,
okay, but when you start a season 9-1-1 and you don't And I know this is what reporters are supposed to do. They're supposed to look at more like the critical parts of the game, and they don't do that because a lot of them are just boomers. Like 9-1-1 looks good. It's the same thing that happened with the Leafs when the Leafs started 2-6-3 or whatever it was, and they looked like absolute, like they weren't playing bad games, but they weren't off to a great start.
They just were playing bad games.
Sensational. Well, okay, yes, I know. I couldn't even watch them, but like the sensationalization was on both sides, and most of the time it comes back to earth in some capacity. It just went reverse ways for two different teams. But yes, Edmonton Oilers are a pretty bad team. Anyone can see that they aren't. Or anyone should be able to see. But I mean, I think in Edmonton, like, I don't know, being a yes man gets you good media access. Also, yes. Ty, you brought up a good point, and this is a point that we haven't even talked about in the downfall of Edmonton Oilers. And this is a good point that we could probably bring up that extends beyond Edmonton Oilers, is McDavid signed off on all these moves. And Eric has talked a lot about on the Talking Hockey podcast, or Talking Hockey, kind of on the podcast, but mostly on the page. Play, just because a player knows how to play the sport doesn't mean that they know anything about the sport.
Yeah, like we had like Rachel on the podcast. Sorry, yeah. To interrupt you, Luke. You want to finish your sentence there?
I was just going to say they don't know X's and O's, and they definitely don't know anything about team management and how to build the team.
So yeah, McDavid signed off on the Ken Holland signing as GM. I think that's pretty well. That was pretty well reported that him and his agent were like, okay, this is a good GM that I want because proven winner, won in Detroit for 25 years, whatever.
Proven failure.
When Rachel was here on the podcast, I think it was her who was saying that she saw McDavid and he was really, really excited about the Duncan Keith. He was about Duncan Keith.
Yeah,
they were pumped about that. Duncan Keith.
Because again, I think I even made this call around when the trade happened. Like, you just know the guys in that locker room are like, Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
Two-time Stanley Cup winner, gold medalist, top defenseman.
And you know why?
Hasn't played a good game in a while, but yeah.
But you know why they did it? It's because they've only played him. They play him two times a year, and they don't have to sit through the slog fest of 82 games of Duncan Keith, like playing. And then they see a couple good things he does, and goes, "Okay, I want him," and not, "Oh, look at his overall game and listen to the scouts and listen to the people that are watching him and go, you know, this guy isn't 2014, 2012 Duncan Keith anymore."
Yeah, if you're getting to, if you're doing this trade in 2012, 100%. But looking at the D, don't you think Caleb Jones would be a better fit? Right, I don't know how he's doing in Chicago.
Ethan Bear would be even a better fit.
Like, I think Fogle is like not scoring.
Fogle hasn't done anything. 11 points in 33 games. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah. He hasn't looked very good, I've heard. Like, he hasn't looked like him.
A lot of this, though, I think comes down to, like, it's joked about a lot on Twitter, but I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl literally do not do anything in their own end. How many, like, William Nylander walked around McDavid in that game 2 weeks ago against the Oilers, right? Ryan Reeves, there's a clip of Ryan Reeves on the forecheck against McDavid, and McDavid just gives up, loses the puck. Whatever.
I think it's also a function of usage. Like, they're putting him out on longer shifts. They're playing him a whole ton of minutes. So you think he's expending all his energy on a Ryan Reeves puck possession? Like, you know what I mean?
Like,
that's my defense of McDavid.
They are waiting for a breakaway chance the other way or a power play.
Yeah.
FYI. Edmonton just scored.
Yeah, I just saw it. Don't worry, Martin. You don't need to update me on the Leafs score. I already know what's happening. Thank you.
That just happened.
You know, also, we know the Leafs are going to lose this game, right? Like 100%.
Yeah, any trap game, the Leafs lose.
Like, they're missing McDavid. So 100%
they're going to lose.
Heard of the two of the people that are on this goal. Perlini and...
Perlini is a former first round... draft pick in 2014.
Who the hell is Skivior?
Colton Sevier. Come on. Let's go, Luke. Yeah. Come on, Luke.
Perlini was in Arizona.
I know Kyle Turris.
Perlini is in Arizona.
2014 first round pick. Brendan Perlini.
The usage, I think, is what comes down to Tippett. But overall, I think this is why we need to stop acting like a lot of these players know what the hell's going on their team. And that is how we can kind of move beyond and have enough to talk about beyond just the Oilers.
Talk about players not knowing what's going on. A very good example is, like, at least the business end It seems like some players were surprised about like the NHL having the ability to change the rules basically on going to the Olympics, depending on what happened within the season with COVID and stuff. And it's come out that some players were surprised about this or didn't realize this could happen. And I think that goes to show maybe business end of things. Players should have no, and business end, i.e. getting players too. That's part of the business end. The players should.
I disagree with that fully. I think the education of the players when it comes to the NHLPA is clearly not high enough, because the NHL players have to pay back so many of the owners, if I'm correct on this, for the losses throughout COVID. Oh yeah, they should know what the
hell's going on that side.
That is,
you shouldn't have an input.
So much money.
Whoever negotiates a contract from the NHLPA perspective is a moron. Like, you're not a players association. You're literally just a cuckoldress for the NHL.
No. You want to know what's actually worse? Like, okay, all players' associations are trash. You want to know what's even worse is the NFL's, because they played an extra game.
We're not talking
this
about
season.
The NFL.
Okay, I know, but all players' associations are trash because, for example, the NFL this season played an extra game. They're having a 17-game season, and the players don't get an extra penny from that.
I think the NBA is probably the best.
You love the NBA. We all know this. You love it.
I mean,
even soccer has better unions than these fucking guys. Like, Jesus Christ.
Does soccer even have unions?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, each league has its own union.
I mean, honestly, you can, like, soccer's kind of like slavery. You can sell a player for a certain amount of money.
That's what it seems like. Like, that's why I'm surprised they have unions. It's like, what?
But the thing is, right, you have to remember, whenever a player gets bought, a lot of the time they get a percentage of that. A lot of the time that happens. They have, like, a lot of the time they have those agreements in place. If you go and acquire a player for, like, I remember when Barcelona.
That sounds fair, because it's literally them. Like, they're exactly. the reason.
Like, I remember when Barcelona acquired Neymar for whatever amount of money. He got a very nice little chunk of that transfer.
That PSG? Transferred?
No, I think when they bought him from Santos. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I remember.
But no, I think the players should know about the business side of things. I think the NHLPA and the Olympic thing is so disappointing for two reasons. One being Gary Bettman said the players will decide on if they go or not, like literally 2 weeks before that. And the second one is obviously there's more players in the NHLPA that aren't going to the Olympics than are. And it was probably the players that aren't going to the Olympics that were like, no, why would we do a 3 week break for no reason just for you guys to go to the Olympics? Like, I think it was more of a infighting thing than an ex-fighting thing about why the NHL didn't go to the Olympics. It's just assumptions. I don't have any proof of this, but I think a lot of players who aren't going to the Olympics were like, why would I want a 3 week break in the middle of the season when so much has already been delayed, only to then be potentially losing our star players for weeks at a time. I think that was more what it came down to than the players just being like upset. I think those are the two reasons why they're more upset than anything else. I think Brad Marchand, if he wants to go to the the Olympics, should be able to do that. I do think that.
Speaking of this, have you guys seen the Canada long list for consideration for the Olympics?
Owen Power, Mason McTavish.
Cole Perfetti, Jack Quinn.
It's now 2-1 Oilers.
Josh Hosang. And then there's a couple guys there where you're looking, you're going, what? Like Jake Virtanen, Brandon Leipzig.
Listen, Eric, you're looking at this realistically. Like, I don't know. I don't know who the best players are that you're looking at on this team. Like, who's watching this anyway is what I'm trying to say.
That's true. But also, there's some guys here that I didn't even know still played. Adam Cracknell? I haven't heard that guy's name in freaking years.
He's probably KHL All-Star right now.
I didn't know that.
Some of the like third-line scrubs go and make a good career in Europe.
Cal O'Reilly.
They have a good time.
Like,
that's Ryan's brother, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't know like half these guys still played. Josh Hosang's going. That's interesting. Peyton Krebs. Kaden Gooley. Those are the only interesting names on there anyways. But yeah.
All so the point is I have a question for you, Martin. I have a question for you, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do whatever else we're going to talk about.
I'm listening.
Do you think that McDavid is still the best player in the world? Considering his entire game up until this point of his career, is he the best player in the league right now?
Who, the question is, who's better? Are you going to say Matthews is better? Because
I'm saying there's a very good argument to make that Matthews is better. Considering defensive results?
I think there's not a very good argument.
McDavid still holds it.
Look at your evolving Wild boys, okay? I just want to say they will never talk about it, but there's a player above McDavid on there.
They don't want to upset the Oilers fans after the whole...
You were really upset when Evolving Wild had Nick Foligno as a Selke Trophy winner. So Ty is the epitome of picking stats and charts.
No, I did. That's hilarious. It's hilarious that they had Nick Foligno on there. It's hilarious that they had Zach Aston-Reese that 1 year.
Was it Nick Foligno or
it was Marcus? It was Marcus. Yeah, it's
okay, Marcus makes more sense. Nick Foligno was
Marcus was there. This year. Yeah.
Their Selke winners are always hilarious to see. Like the 1 year they had like James Van Riemsdyk on their list. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, James Van Riemsdyk was an interesting one.
Man, stats, bro, stats.
And anyway,
are you guys going to start talking about soccer now?
What else do we want to say quickly? Did we have
any? You were going to talk about soccer.
Okay, I wanted to make a comment about the Florida Panthers before we go any further. Incredible team, and I think it's crazy to me that they're playing. You know, they're probably going to be playing the Leafs or Tampa in the first round of the playoffs this year.
Ty,
just great.
I'll say one thing about the argument.
Martin is the king of going three conversations back.
Yeah, I know. What argument were you making here?
The best
Matthews.
Okay. The best offense is the best defense is a good offense, and McDavid is an extraordinarily good offense.
Have you watched like McDavid? Okay, what McDavid's good at is end-to-end rushes that happen like once a game. Wait for a breakaway, score on the power play.
And he's better than anyone else in the world.
But he's not a better 5-on-5 scorer. He's not a better defensive player. He's not I'm not even kidding you that if you watch McDavid play defense in his own zone, if he loses the puck, he just gives up.
Yeah, that's
he has no
annoying.
Idea what's going on out there.
I think that is a product of playing too much. I agree.
Sure,
with
yeah, yeah.
Eric.
But the team has no. Like, anytime they need a goal, McDavid, go out there. Draisaitl, go score three power play points for us. Go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what, like.
Which is insane that they can do that.
Like, his defensive results are definitely a function of playing time and shift length. It has to be. Because it doesn't even look. Half the time, it doesn't even look like he's not trying. It just looks like he's.
Standing
you
around. He's standing
he's
around. Yeah.
Or he needs to save his energy for
and
offense.
This is all Ken Holland's fault for not getting better fucking third line guys that can play defense and score goals. Like the formula is not very difficult for a winning team when you have the X factor in the fucking formula. This guy is a failure as a GM, and he should be fired, basically. All
but they're not going to. And what's also hilarious is the Edmonton media not saying a word bad thing about the ownership or the general manager, the leadership team, the coach. They just always bootlick carry the
Edmonton
water.
Was the best team because they had better third and fourth line players and a much better defense, there wouldn't even be a question if McDavid's the best player in the world. There would
until
be zero
Michkov steps into the league in 2 or 3 years. Until then.
Yes, maybe. Or Bedard. Maybe.
Michkov.
Isn't there another guy in that draft that they've talked about that barely gets talked about, but he's also sick?
I don't think he's as good as these guys.
Yeah, he's not Bedard or
Or but in other years, he'd be like undisputed number one.
Yeah, he'd be at the top. Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm sure. If you're behind those two, you would probably be a number one in a lot of other years.
Yes.
For sure. But those guys 100% are one and two. Michkov is probably better than Bedard, honestly, but he's in Russia, so he'll go number two, most likely.
Most likely.
Okay. We shall move on to soccer. Luke can tune in now.
Can we talk about Kadri being fifth?
No one cares.
Great. Congratulations.
How
to him.
Is that not Yay. Something?
Representation, diversity, inclusion, equity.
Eric's really happy.
Kadri is number five in scoring, and Stamkos is number six. How is this not a bigger story?
Explain okay, that's great. A lot of teams haven't played a game in a month.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Kadri's having a great year. That's how we can end the conversation.
Kadri has only played 26 games, and he's fifth.
What about
that
Hubie?
Means he'd actually be fourth if he just played as many games as Jonathan Huberto. Which means he'd be behind only McDavid, Draisaitl, and Ovechkin in scoring. How is the how is it not even a conversation about like the Tavares trade or like, you know, I feel like there should be some bigger dialogue there. The Tavares signing versus Kadri for Barry trade thing, right?
Would Kadri have done this?
Having a good year.
Kadri wouldn't have. No, there's no way. Kadri had no opportunity to do that here.
Yeah.
He wouldn't, but would it have almost been better to have Kadri versus Tavares? Like,
I don't think so.
At this point, it's almost arguable that it's close enough.
Okay, okay. That's great.
A change of environment is good.
That's great. He also got suspended twice in the playoffs that definitely cost the Leafs the playoff. It's okay.
Yeah, he
congratulations
had to
him. He had to go.
And yet Tavares joined and nothing has happened in the playoffs anyways. So
blame Mitchell Marner.
And because of that Florida team that Ty was talking about, it might not happen.
It's not happening this year again. It's inevitable, man. This is ridiculous. Time for some divisional realignment or 1-8, please.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Honestly, it does create rivalries. So, hey, Gary
what
Bettman.
Rivalries?
I don't know.
Yeah, Leafs and Florida Panthers is not a rivalry.
The Leafs don't even
Tampa,
play the Florida
Tampa
Panthers
versus Florida
March.
Last year. Tampa versus Florida last year was sick. You can't deny it.
That's true.
Yeah, but
that was wild.
It does create good matchups throughout the playoffs.
And throughout the season, the next season, that bad blood between Tampa and Florida still remains. I mean, they still doesn't really matter. It doesn't bring any revenue in because there's like three people in the Florida stands. But I mean, you know.
I mean, they have probably have more people than.
True. They have more people at their games right now than the Leafs do. That's correct.
They've always had social distancing at the Florida arena.
It's actually true. My cousin sent me a Snapchat from that game, the Calgary Panthers game, and it was like, oh, it was just like, oh my god, stands, they're doing so well, stands still empty.
All right, I'm going on mute, go talk soccer.
All right, big news out of Toronto and Italy. Lorenzo Insigne, I probably butchered that one.
That wasn't even close. I don't think
it is.
I don't know how to say it. Insigne. But that wasn't, yeah, it's
Insigne, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
We know who it is. Big signing in TFC, in the MLS world, actually. World.
This is concerning for the NHL. Like, if I'm the NHL.
For more so for, like, European soccer. But anyway.
But Eric's been talking about this for a long time, right? Like, how the MLS is coming up on the NHL. It's not just coming up, it's surpassing the NHL and viewers and following.
Yeah,
and
so I posted this yesterday, and let me pull it up. The viewership has narrowed drastically.
Yes.
All right, so this is for last year because you have a full data set from last year. MLS had 276,000 viewer average, and the NHL had 391,000 viewer average. That difference has shrunk a lot, and it'll continue to shrink with stuff like Insigne joining TFC for sure.
Yes, exactly. A prime level elite level soccer player.
Like, you're used to seeing players come to the MLS for like their retirement party, right? Like, they're 35 years old. They still want to get paid. So they come here, huge marketing opportunity. I mean, he's older. He's just turned 30.
Yep. He's just turned 30 basically in June.
That is huge to get a player who can still play. He instantly becomes the MLS's best player, highest paid player.
Yeah, he had 14 goals last year in Serie A.
Which is good. Like that.
That's very good. That's
his FIFA ranking is like 88, right? if you want to compare, like looking at how good of a player. It's not like he's like the best player in the world. He's probably somewhere in like the top 50, top 60-ish range, right?
It's not like Ronaldo or Messi or like, you know, as Eden Hazard is suddenly joining the MLS, but it's still a big signing.
Who would have seen this coming? Like, he played he's playing in Napoli right now, right? And even if his contract was coming up, you'd think he'd go to another Italian team or another European team. But to come to North America is like so out of.
Is it Napoli? He plays for his hometown city.
Yeah, Napoli.
Right?
And he was hoping for, he's their captain.
And Napoli's a good team too. Yeah. He's a starting forward on Napoli, and Napoli's always been a very, like, not an amazing team, but a very good team.
But he's making, what, three times the money or twice the money?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what his salary was.
He's making 11.5 million euros in TFC right now.
Yeah. Which, again, is crazy because you look at – he makes more than 13 other MLS teams' salary.
Combined, which is 20 – like 20 million U.S., right? Like looking at the comparison.
And he's over half of TFC's salary as well. Or he's a little bit under half.
Like when Giovinco came to Toronto, that was – he wasn't even like a starter on – where did he come from? He came from Juventus, I think.
Yeah, Juventus.
Yeah. He was like on their bench and everyone's like, this is a huge signing. Mm-hmm. And he was the Toronto FC best player ever.
Yep.
This is literally a short king that I support because I went to so many TFC games.
He's shorter than me.
He's 5 foot two. Like he was a literal midget.
Soccer is a better sport for short people.
But like his free kicks though, like anytime he was taking a free kick, you're like, it's going in easy.
Like how tall is Messi? Isn't Messi like
5'7", 5'8"?
Yeah, Messi's 5'7", I think.
But like he is tiny.
King sport.
I'm not going to lie. Like he is literally
Messi
tiny.
Messi towers over Giovinco.
Yeah.
The thing about Giovinco was every TFC game I ever went, he scored a free kick.
Yeah, exactly.
Every game I've gone TFC game, and I think I went to 3 or 4, every single one of those games, he scored a free kick goal.
And he made it look easy, too. Like, yeah, that's not an easy thing to fucking do.
And I know that. And that's the thing, like, people, like, hockey people, I guarantee you, they look at that and they go, like, oh, like, whatever. Right. It is not easy to do that against a 6'5" goalkeeper over a wall 10 feet away. Like
that TFC team that won the championship was, like, ridiculously good. And the TFC, I don't know if you watched that that run they had. I think it was 2018, 2019, the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
Where they went all the way to the finals. Like, that was like, unreal to watch. Taking on those Mexican teams, man. Like, they went to penalties in the finals, which is crazy.
The MLS is just going to keep getting, like, more and more of these guys.
They have to at this point. Like, LA's looking at this and, like, well, we can't get overshadowed by Toronto. Like, the big money teams are, like... Well,
you look at like who came, like David Beckham, I think was like the first big one, but he was also like 38.
Yeah, he was
super old. Beckham started it.
Who came? It was David Villa, I think.
Villa came
to Toronto, not Toronto, New York.
Rooney's come.
Zlatan came to Rooney came for a little bit.
Donovan came.
Thierry, David Villa.
Bradley came. Even Bradley was.
Well, I mean, like these, they all were all on TFC. Like they, all these guys came.
Drogba came.
Drogba came, but this is like Henry, the first one who came who was like a legitimate,
yes, in his
player,
prime,
in his prime
player.
Yeah, he's just exiting his prime.
Just
but
exiting
like still.
His prime, but all these other guys were out of their
prime. Out of their primes. Yeah. Like when David Villa and Thierry and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Drogba, all of those guys came, they were like 3-4 years out of
but their prime. But the MLS has gotten good enough that these guys can't come out of their prime and make it look like they're sick still, which is what they kind of tried to do.
100%.
They can't do that anymore.
And the MLS improving is clearly helping Canada too. Like it's, Team Canada?
Oh, man. For sure.
They're making the World Alfonso Cup this year. I went to the game.
Dude, imagine Canada in the World Cup. First time in our lifetime.
Eric, you're going to go to the game. They're playing USA at the end of the month in Hamilton.
I heard that.
It's sold out. Of course it's I would have gone, but it's sold out. I think they'll probably close it to spectators anyway.
My friend Tony, he has tickets. So
I went to the one against Panama. They had in Toronto. I think that was in October. They won like 4-1. That was insane. And then in Edmonton beating Mexico, huge. That was actually the craziest game ever because it was like minus 40 in Edmonton. It snowed like 20 centimeters of snow. And the Mexico just came from Mexico.
People say soccer's soft, but like the one thing that you don't have to do in the NHL very often is play in like bad weather. As in like unless it's an outdoor game.
Yeah, like Minnesota this weekend was like minus 20. But they're more used to it than the Mexican national football team would be, right?
Soccer looks soft because people flail a lot around.
Yeah, no, that aspect of it 100%. But like even like England and stuff, they play throughout all winter.
Yeah, it's
but
fucked.
It's like two degrees.
It's like rainy as hell. Like it's just mud. Like it's a slog.
I think Ty's over exaggerating. It's not like just 2 degrees. Like there's a lot of times they're playing in snow.
Yeah,
very often.
Especially in snowing.
Like it's not easy. Like
rain.
Playing at like -5, -7 degrees, snow, wind, all that shit. Not easy to do.
No,
not easy to do at all.
It's so awful playing in the cold, man. Like your feet get cold. Like those cleats aren't designed for cold; they're designed for warm. Yeah.
And the ball gets harder too. And when you kick it, it fucking hurts. When it hits you, it fucking hurts.
Get hit by it.
So
this is a fun time for soccer.
A horrible time for the NHL, man. Like this
horrible
is bad.
Time. No, it's a horrible time. It's actually pathetic for Serie A. It's kind of sad that they didn't.
Serie A has been a fading league now for years. Like ever since
Ronaldo, but they lost him.
And all the European, like I don't know if you follow any of like the soccer news guys, like.
But we also don't care about Serie A. We care about the NHL. No.
But we, but also lucky. Like, but it's I know the it's been no, I think it's been projected for the longest time that MLS will eventually pass the NHL to be like a big five essentially. Sports league, right?
Yes.
It's becoming more legit. And as whether Luke likes it or not, soccer is an exciting sport.
Coming more legit, it's like inevitable. Like it's not, like it's undoubtable.
Man, like there's nothing that gets me more excited, even like though my country is not in it, than watching the World Cup like all day.
Yeah. It is the event. Like I love
the Euros this summer, man.
I love the Olympics, but the World Cup is it?
Euros was awesome.
Even Euros, World like just awesome. All day, just watching soccer for countries that I have
zero idea,
no allegiance to, but I'm still watching.
No, the World Cup is different. There's nothing like the World Cup.
There's nothing like you're right.
Billion plus people watching, like
it's
next level.
So Eric, you want to go to Qatar if Canada makes it November?
I'd rather plan a trip. Die. But actually, I kind of be down. I'm not gonna lie.
Won't it be really hot there? Like
it's gonna be hot. You also, I don't think I think alcohol is banned there in Qatar.
Dude, I'm so mad. Like this is gonna be in a whole nother fucking tangent. But I'm so mad that the World Cup ended up in Qatar. Like it was just the worst possible situation for everything, because the World Cup always happens in the summer for a reason, which was all the leagues are on break and you can just go. Right now they have to stop every single season to go in the middle of winter, and then like it doesn't World Cup in the winter just doesn't feel right.
Your summer days where you
it will feel right.
Doesn't feel right.
It's just wrong. Like you have to be outside with a beer. It wings better, and fucking.
It will be better because you don't want to sometimes watch the World Cup because it's a nice day outside and it's like I feel bad.
No, that's never happened.
No. You go outside and watch.
And then you party in the streets with the random freaking Egyptians and Iranians. Man, the team won
when Italy won, they were so much like the Italians in Kingston were so pumped. They were flying around the road. Just go to Woodbridge
and see what happened.
Yeah, go to Vaughan.
It was, oh man. I don't know. Anyways, I hate that it's so corrupt. Like that's
how many people died making these stadiums, I think is
human
rights issue.
Like hundreds of people dying.
And like literally, if you're standing in the people making the stands,
the buildings are literally almost slaves. Like they're not actually slaves, but they're like migrated Indian and Bangladesh workers and stuff, and they all like have zero rights and they get kept in these like camps and all this shit. Like it's not a good look at all.
Anyway, I think that's it.
And then they're all abandoned stadiums. Listen, after.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah,
that's the
and that's that, why like
it, that's it, the same with the Olympics and
that's the same with the Olympics. Yeah,
it always happens. The Brazil, like all those stadiums, like
they're rotting away.
Useless. Yeah, and Brazil loves soccer, but like they can't fill out 60,000 people stadiums.
Well, that's why I think like when the World Cup or Euros are in Europe, like that's why they already have these stadiums in place that are used for.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, even in North America, would be easier ish because the football stadiums and
exactly
everything else can be turned into soccer stadiums. But like, well,
Eric, don't worry. If we don't go in 2022, we'll be there in 2026 because it's being hosted in North America then. So we'll be good. And Canada will be in it matter what.
And a lot of Canada's players will be in their prime at that time too. So.
Alphonso Davies is my last tangent, and then I think I gotta go because I gotta go eat dinner. But Alphonso Davies, incredible player at 21 years old. Jonathan David. Okay, here's a crazy stat, okay, for Canada soccer. Jonathan David, I think, has played now around 20 games for Canada's men's national. I'm going to fact check this. Jonathan David, men's national team. He's leading like all of Europe in scoring, right? If you take a look at all the leagues, right, he's kind of leading for Lille in League One. Won the league last year, by the way, over PSG. Just want to throw that out there. Led by Jonathan David. 21 years old. Has played a total of 24 games for the Canada men national team. Has scored 18 goals, which is very close to the record already set by Dwayne De Rosario.
Oh, I remember.
He's like their leading scorer of like, I think he has like 20 goals, something around there. So in 24 games, as a 21-year-old, Jonathan David is almost caught up to him.
No, the youth coming out of Canada is insane right now. Like, this is the best generation of Canadian soccer players in history.
And like they've shot up the rankings. Like they were in this like last year they were in the 70s. They're ranked 40 now. And you know, they're up there with. I mean, they've
done is pretty incredible.
They beat Mexico and they also tied Mexico in Mexico, which has never happened. Like I think in like the history of Mexico's like World Cup qualifying, they've only ever tied like two or three times.
You said Dwayne De Rosario's first, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember because he played on TFC for a few years.
Yeah, he did.
I remember that.
And he was like the Canadian guy, and now you're looking at this like
he's from Scarborough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
Canada's had like a obviously a renaissance period in soccer.
Like these are players who are playing for legitimate teams in Europe.
PSG,
right?
Bayern Munich, like these are elite teams with the like guys are playing with
not PSG.
Messi, Neymar and
against Messi and Neymar, Jonathan David is.
Yeah.
And Davies is a star on Bayern Munich,
Anyways, that's it.
Luke, that's because of the MLS. That's a big thanks to
MLS. Started in the MLS,
And a lot of those players were in MLS development systems, too.
I saw Davies on Vancouver.
Yeah.
When he was in Toronto.
Exactly.
Anyway, Luke, end it off.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.